Well, think back a few years, maybe even further, a few millennia, to a time like Noah or Abraham, when they lived, they knew God's truth, they walked those ways, and then they died. And they await in their grave others such as Esther or Sarah. And we could name all those in the faith chapter that are mentioned there that endured the trials and they await their promise of a resurrection. Brethren, this day pictures so much. A resurrection not just back to physical life, but to spirit life. That's hard for us to imagine, to think about our bodies being changed to that degree, and to have the opportunity to live forever without all the aches and pains, with all the hassles and trials that we go through. And we know that each holy day that God has given us has deep meaning, and they remind us of the steps in God's plan. So we should look forward to them annually as God laid them out. And as we keep them, we have a better understanding of God's plan. And hopefully, we prepare more for all that is coming. That is God's intention for his children. Let's begin today in Daniel 2 and verse 44. Daniel 2 and verse 44. Mentioning some amazing promises that this day pictures. Here in this section of scripture, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel explains that dream, and he mentions the four kingdoms, the four main kingdoms that would be on earth until Christ returned. So in Daniel 2, verse 44, it says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So roughly 2,600 years ago, God revealed to Daniel the order of the kings down through the ages. And so here we are under that last kingdom, a worldly kingdom. We know we had the Babylonian, then the Medo-Persian, the Greco-Macedonian, and now we're under the Roman emphasis that God mentioned. And still being under that system, we know there's something to hope for, that God has a plan set up for all of mankind to be under his government. God's kingdom will start out over the physical subjects, but there's a time coming when everyone will be spiritual, when everyone will be changed and have a knowledge of the truth and have a chance to overcome and grow so they can have a spiritual resurrection as well. Christ will resurrect the saints, as we will read today. Both those that are in the grave, like Abraham and Noah, but also those that are alive and remain at that time. They will be raised to spirit. We will be wed with Jesus Christ. We will rule with him. What an awesome future we have in front of us, and we need to think about that. Let's turn a few pages forward here in Daniel 7. Daniel 7 and verse 18. As we just get a little glimpse about this coming kingdom that God has been planning out since before the foundation of the universe, Daniel 7 and verse 18. He says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Think about that. That includes us if we're willing to make the effort to continue in this race. Verse 27, "Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Brethren, it's talking about us. And so we can come here and rejoice over the fact that God is going to give us opportunities that we don't deserve. We've all made mistakes. We've headed down the wrong path at times. We're slow to repent and overcome at times. And yet this is what God desires for us. And he has mercy and is willing to continue to work with us. And so these promises are a part of what this day pictures. Something that we all should think about more and that we should pattern our lives so that we're preparing for it. And if we let go of this day, we will lose sight of its meaning. It's easy to forget God's promises. We've seen so many that have. And we too can do the same if we're not careful. And yet it's beautiful to see what God is working out. But even more so, it's a blessing to be a part of it. So we not only understand it, but God is saying, "My children, I want you to get ready. I want you to be a part of that kingdom." So today I would like to cover two important aspects of why we keep this holy day. First of all, one reason for observing it is this feast is a warning. You know, with the sound of the trumpets, there's a warning there that is being sounded. And our Father wants us to be wide awake. He wants us to get ready for our future. And so we have the opportunity now to do that. Secondly, this feast also offers us hope, because the reward will be so great, something that none of us deserve. And God wants to share that freely with each one of us and for all the world, for that matter. Today is a memorial, a yearly reminder that God will fulfill his promises to each and every human being that has ever lived. And so that hope helps us to stay awake. It helps us to look forward to the future that God has offered us. My title today is A Trumpet of Warning and Hope. Now you think back about the trumpets used throughout the centuries. Many times we know that they offered a piercing sound. They can be heard far off. They can be very loud. And so the purposes might have been for music, as we know. People celebrated, played the trumpet, but also for war. You know, a call to action or whatever the meaning might have been at that time. It was also used to assemble people, to gather, such as the children of Israel, to come together or to share news. So come, hear what needs to be spread to everyone. And God told Israel to make two silver trumpets, and they had different blasts, and each blast had different meanings. And at the end of the age, God will use a miraculous trumpet to relay a message to the whole world. And we will cover a little bit of that today, because this Feast of Trumpets has great meaning, not only for today, as we think about it, as we prepare for it, but the future, that time when everyone will have an opportunity to understand God's plan. So let's begin today in Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. When you consider the several million Israelites that came out of Egypt, God freed them from slavery. Well, here they'd been only out in the wilderness for approximately 2 months. And so that was fresh in their minds. And here God wanted to speak to them. He wants to let them know some things. He reminds them of the Ten Commandments in the next chapter here in Exodus. So he gathered them together to hear some of these items. So let's read a few verses, Exodus 19 and verse 16. It says, "Then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." I don't think we can imagine how loud it was. This is God miraculously blowing a trumpet. And it says in verse 17, "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain." So can you imagine how attentive the people would have been? We're going to meet with God. We're coming together. We're going to hear something. Verse 18, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly." Just put yourself in that place for a moment. You know, the mountain, there's fire, there's smoke, there's shaking and trembling, the people are afraid. And in verse 19, "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." So a tremendous occasion that we can read right over, but here it is written out for us to think about. And so the Israelites heard this miraculous trumpet sound, and they were fearful. I mean, we would be too today if we heard that same noise. And so this is a reminder of how the seven trumpets at the end of the age will be. When people hear that, maybe not so much with the first, but as you hear the second and the third and the fourth trumpets, as they blast away, people will start to think, uh-oh, I know what happened at the last trumpet. What's coming next? And so God will get their attention. So picture here, we have the ground shaking, lightning, smoke, and fire. God had their attention, and he wants our attention. He doesn't need to do all of that to get our attention. At least that's what he's wanting us to consider. And as we look at Israel, as you think about during that time of the Feast of Trumpets, the trumpet was reminding them that God was speaking to them, but also that they had better listen. And that's what he wants for us today, to really stop and reflect on his words. Are we listening to the voice of God, which is like a trumpet? At the end of this age, God will begin to wake up the whole world. And he will do that with the sounding of seven trumpets. amazing things are set to happen at the sound of a trumpet. Some really good things, as we'll mention today, and some really horrible things for mankind with the suffering and the misery that will come because of God having to wake up people to get their attention so they listen. Humanity has chosen how they want to respond, and at times it hasn't been good, and in the future some won't respond as well, but we need to be responding now. We need to respond to the trumpet blast that God gives us and that His voice speaks out to us. And we can't wait until the end time to consider that we need to change a little more. That's what we should be doing now. Those blasts that are at the end time are intended to shake up the world, not the church, because the church already needs to be prepared and ready for all that is coming. Let's go to Psalm 81. Psalm chapter 81, verse 1. Brethren, when we think about our great God and His voice, He means for everyone to hear it. Just like a trumpet, He says, I want you to hear it. I want you to pay attention. Notice what here is said in Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. So the Feast of Trumpets is the only festival on a new moon. You know, we remember some that are, when there's a full moon out, we keep them in mind when we see that full moon. But here we see the Feast of Trumpets is to be joyful. Because when we think about the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that all of mankind, whether they know it or not, are in a sense waiting for someone to rule with righteousness and to help people. And you think about the resurrection of the saints, that includes us sitting here, that we have the opportunity to be changed at Christ's return. But it also is a solemn time because the trumpets announce punishment for the sins of mankind. We've all made those mistakes. We have the opportunity to repent of them, but the world needs to still be awakened to that and the changes they need to make. And so if we have hope in the resurrection, we must listen to the warnings. We must heed the voice of God, the trumpet-like voice of God that He is shouting to us, blasting out to all of us through the Bible here to listen and follow. Let's drop down to verse 8, because it says, Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. So during our lifetime, there are times when we don't listen very well to God. We go off on our own course, we get off in the ditch, whatever it might be. And God, just like He did with Israel, He's admonishing us to continue to walk in His ways. Verse 13, Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. So today, as spiritual Israel, are we willing to do that with the little bit of time that we have left? You know, whether our life will end or whether Christ returns, whichever comes first, God has invited us to continue to walk that way. And so God has wanted His people to listen all along. Back then for Israel, today, His church, the body of Christ. He's asking us to get ready. And so today we should look at this festival in the same way. Like, are we carefully listening to its meaning and therefore preparing for all that is approaching? In Isaiah 66, verse 2, I'll just refer to it. It tells us that God looks on those who are humble and tremble at His word. Do we do that? If we don't study it, then we don't have that respect for God's word. We must look at it, and the trembling part kind of would turn into where we would act on it and begin to change our lives. Otherwise, why would we be fearful of that? So do we have that deep respect for the word of God, which is the voice of God, which is like a trumpet once again? And in the past, the trumpet was blown as a reminder to pay attention to God's voice. So do we listen to the words that are written in this Bible carefully? Are we doing it better this year than last year? So let's consider what God says about the future blowing of trumpets. We'll go back to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And so under this first section of the sermon, we'll look at the warnings that God has given us and what is coming on the horizon, and to be aware of that now so that we respond properly while we still have time. Revelation 8 and verse 1, here the Apostle John is given a vision by Christ, and he got it from the Father. They deliver it to an angel. And so John has that, and he tells about some end time events. And just think, these events may not be that far in the future. I mean, they could be just a few years away. Very well during our lifetime. So let's think about that as we read a few of these. Revelation 8 and verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Skipping down to verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So think about what this is going to do for the whole world when they hear this. We will hear this, and we better be ready for it. Brethren, God has a plan to set everything straight. We know that he's organized and detailed, and he's going to bring about these trumpets just as he has spoken. And so as he begins to wake people up, they will come to learn, as we have, that sin produces death, that there's a penalty there. But we have a Savior who was willing to give his life. And so our wrong choices bring consequences. Yet there's a way to, because we have a merciful God, to be able to be forgiven and cleansed and to be able to have that close relationship with God. And so, excuse me. So these prophecies reveal that God knows the future. He knows our hearts, and he's willing to give us time to wake up. So we have to think about that. Are we using this time? And is the Feast of Trumpets a yearly reminder to really make us think, where are we at in our Christian walk? And where do we still need to go to be ready so we're pleasing to God? And so the Great Tribulation and the heavenly signs will bring many to their knees. They will be shocked at the things that are just on the horizon. And yet we're told that many of them won't change. They'll refuse to repent. So we need to have a different attitude than that. And God will begin to unravel everything, even the things that people said, well, this is really rock solid. This is foundational. No, it'll start to be shaken up, and they'll go, what can I really stand on? And we know in the end, God is getting their attention because Jesus Christ, our rock, is the only sure foundation. Verse 7. So here's the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Can you imagine that? When you think about the amount of forest around the world, the grassland, and how that'll affect lumber, oxygen that is put out by the trees, when you think about the food for the herds, when you think about all this greenery burned up, this should get a lot of people's attention. And isn't God saying something here that he has all power? He's telling people, I have the wisdom, the knowledge, I have a plan. And he says, I've given you life, and my laws are important. So people will begin to start to see, if they're willing at that point. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Going on in verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Huge changes on the horizon. It's hard to imagine the oceans becoming blood or a third of the ships being destroyed. So you think about the food that we get from the sea and how that'll affect the food for all of mankind and all these ships. You think about beachfront property, you might think, oh, I have this beautiful house sitting on the ocean or on this lake. If you look out at blood and the stench of dead fish and all that, it's going to change and get everyone's attention. Your property won't be worth anything if you're sitting on a sea of blood. And so, brethren, this day, though, even though these things are happening, we have to remember the hope that is built into this as well. And we must never forget the warnings that take place, you know, prior to the return of Jesus Christ. That's where we're all looking to, that return. But some of these things take place, and God is worked it out where it will. Let's go back to the first chapter here in Revelation 1 and verse 10. And so this reveals the time frame of John's vision. Revelation 1 and verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, or you could say the day of the Lord. And so that time, just before Christ's return, and so this vision that John has, and he said, I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So once again, I want us to get that connection. Every time we hear the trumpet, you know, especially in the scriptures, it should remind us of the voice of God. He's trying to get a warning, a message out to the people. That's why we have to listen to his voice, because those blasts or that message needs to be heard by us. So John heard God's voice as a trumpet, and on this Feast of Trumpets, do we consider that our great God, our Father, and Jesus Christ are speaking to us through these scriptures? Are we listening carefully? Because his words are critical for not only abundant life, you know, physical life, it's critical now, but it's important for a future life if we really want that. Let's go back to verse 3 here in chapter 1 of Revelation. Because John was inspired to write, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So are we reading our scriptures daily? God is saying there's a blessing that comes from that. And he goes on to say, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So we need to, as it says here, read them. We need to hear these words, and we need to keep them. So the word there, keep, in the Greek, means to guard. We guard it by keeping our eyes on it. That's one of the meanings here. It means also to prevent escaping. We don't want to let go of God's words and let it escape from, you know, let's say our clutch. It means to fulfill a command or to hold fast, to watch, to observe. Why? Because as it says here, the time is near, the season is drawing closer, and God is asking each one of us to be ready for that. And we know that we only have this lifetime to get ready, and yet we can think, oh, we have more time, and we might. But we are told here to guard these prophecies and hold fast because the kingdom is approaching. And one day it will be here, and we have the opportunity to be in it. So in my younger years, and maybe for you too, we thought, oh, we have all the time in the world. You know, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I'm just a teenager, whatever age we're at, young adult age, or just raising parents, maybe in our raising kids as parents. You know, we could be in our 30s or 40s, but we don't know how quickly Christ can come, because he tells us to watch. He says it could come suddenly. Let's go to Revelation 8 again, as we continue to look at a few more of these trumpets that are sounded and the events that will take place on this earth. Revelation 8 and verse 10. Then the third angel sounded. So every time we read this, when it doesn't mention it, this is a trumpet blasting. And so we have to listen to what God is going to do and what that means. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Verse 11, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Brethren, God isn't trying to discourage us. He's saying this is where the world is headed, and that we have an opportunity to prepare for it. And we'll be a part of that if we don't turn from walking as the world. We still have areas to overcome and grow in. And so these plagues are from God. And we can ask, you know, what is he telling us? You know, we each have to ask ourselves that. What is God telling me by writing this for me, by asking me to read it? And he's telling me over here, back in Revelation 1, that we're blessed if we read it, and if we hear it, and we react to or keep his laws. So it's important. And so all of these were designed for a purpose. Now we're allowed in on earth here to try our own ways for a while, then God wakes us up and brings us around, and his plan will go forward no matter what. So we have to be very careful that we don't waste too much time. We're told to redeem the time so that we are ready for this. Going on with verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded. Now just once again, if you think about the children of Israel, and that trumpet sound and how loud it was, the whole world is going to hear this. This is going to be the loudest sound that maybe anybody's ever heard, and they're going to have the memory of these other events we just read about, thinking, uh-oh, what's coming next? Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Verse 13, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So these three woes that it mentions are the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. And so we shouldn't get mixed up in that, but when we think about how God controls the universe, everything is under his authority. He's got this timeline laid out, and he wants us to be thinking about it. And he's willing to wake up people in this way. He could just come down and be nice and say, hey, everybody, we need to get going. This is what we're going to do. The kingdom's starting. But no, he has designed it this way, and we must respect that and prepare for it. And so each trumpet warns us to rely on God. And mankind will need to make a choice. They can either resist it, at least for a while, but if they don't eventually follow, you know, dire times will come. And so we could go through this terrible time if we don't overcome, if we don't endure to the end. God is inviting us to be steadfast, to continue to the very end. Brethren, this festival reminds us that God will wake up the whole world. And yet the church, all of us here, we need to be awake now. That's what he's sharing with us through this, is that we need to use our time to get ready so when these events come, that we're so close to God, our relationship is so bonded in that oneness that we're walking in line with him and he'll protect us, or even if he allows us to be martyrs like Paul, like Peter and others, that we'll be able to handle it and be willing to give up our life as our Savior did for the plan of God, because we know there's future life, spirit life coming. Turn with me back to the Old Testament, to Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. So here in Zephaniah, the theme is the day of the Lord, that time of God's intervention and punishment on the nations. And as we read this book, there's some dire consequences here. And the prophet Zephaniah uses the term day of the Lord more than any other prophet in the Old Testament. So we know exactly what he's referring to here. We'll read a few verses in Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. Now, isn't that interesting? This was written thousands of years ago, and yet he's telling us it's near. So it's always been near in the sense that our life is very short, and when we wake up after we've died, that it'll seem like the next second. So our lifetime is all that we have for time to get ready. And so the day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm. So this is what people will begin to realize as they're in the midst of all those trumpet warnings. Against the fortified cities and against the high towers, verse 17, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk by like blind men. Now, here's the reason why. Because they have sinned against the eternal. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. So God will strike out against the nations to wake them up and to show man that sin, in other words, the opposite of God's way, does not work. It leads to death. And so he has this plan. It's very merciful. It won't be easy. And the more we resist it, the harder it'll be. Now, Zephaniah here warned the house of Judah. This was 30 years before they even went into captivity. And yet he mentions how they'll be punished when their sins come to a climax. And we know that there's dual prophecy. And primarily a lot of this is for the end time when God shows that these events will take place. So we know a day of wrath is coming prior to Christ's return, and we need to be ready for that. Let's look at verse 2 in the same chapter. Chapter 1, verse 2. Because notice how he starts out his book, and we know it's talking about the day of the Lord. It says, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Eternal. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks, along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Eternal. So this is quite the intro, isn't it, into a book that God has inspired for all of mankind to read. And in some translations, it mentions that instead of land, that he'll destroy the land, it mentions the earth. And so the whole earth is going to go through this time of trial. And so with all power, God will bring forth his kingdom. No one wants to be a part of this, do they? No one. I mean, we could talk to anyone that's, whether they're converted or not, no one wants to have this tragedy happen. And yet it could happen during our lifetime. And so these warnings are for us, not the world. The world isn't reading the words of God. The world isn't understanding them. Their time will come. So this is all for us, to whether we believe what God says and whether we're getting ready. You know, in Isaiah 58 in verse 1, just referring to that, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. God all along has wanted to warn his people to prepare and get ready for what is coming. Let's go to chapter 2 here in Zephaniah in verse 3. It says, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Brethren, do we recognize the voice of God? Because his trumpet, his voice is sounding now. And we really need to be awake to that. Now is the time to grow, to mature, to wake up. We must not wait. We must not let down and possibly go through the tribulation or the time of the day of the Lord, as it mentions here. And so we're called to literally help the people that will be going through those events. You know, many will perish, but those that go on into the millennium, we will be helping them, calming them, teaching them, comforting them. And so if we go through those plagues, I think they're going to say to us, what are you doing going through these plagues? You had your chance to be protected from this and to give an answer to all the questions we're going to have for you. And so God is warning us now, and he's asking us to use his spirit to grow and to develop so that we are ready for his kingdom. There's no better time to get prepared than now. And if we delay, we will deeply regret it. I mean, these are not my words. These are God's. This is what he is telling us. And as we keep this feast each year, God is reminding us to redeem the time, to examine ourselves, to prepare for his kingdom, to hunger after his righteousness, to grow in his grace and knowledge, all these warnings throughout the scriptures. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 9 as we touch on a couple other trumpets here. Revelation 9 and verse 1. So this summarizes the fifth and sixth trumpets here. It goes through that, which would be the first and second woes. So let's just read a few verses starting in chapter 9 of Revelation. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. See how important it is for us to be sealed, and God says in other parts of Scripture that his Holy Spirit seals us. So it's important for us to consider that. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Brethren, those who don't repent, there will be further punishment. You know, after those first four trumpets, they'll have the opportunity to change and to come under God's power and protection. And so in Revelation 17, it states the beast system will ascend out of the bottomless pit. So there's all these things happening. And my point today isn't to go into all those details, but to consider there will be this military power of the final government that will be led by Satan. And God will allow it to happen. And we need to know these things and be ready for them. Verse 12, it says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So here's more trumpet blasts, which this day pictures, as well as what we'll talk about here in a moment. Verse 13 then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. I mean, that should just stagger our minds. Think about how many, not millions, not hundreds of millions, but billions of people will die. A third of mankind. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Brethren, think about it. We, as mankind, can be very stubborn, and people will resist, and yet God continues to get their attention. And you look at our lives, and think about the times we've resisted God, such as those at this time, and the pain that we bring into our lives, the suffering. Notice the first part of verse 20. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of their works. And so, brethren, God is inviting us to walk in His ways, to enjoy the blessings that come from obedience. He's asking us to look to His holy laws and really take hold of them and believe in them. And so the Day of Trumpets is a warning. And we decide, you know, where are we going to stand during the Great Tribulation, whether we're close to God. And so this is the solemn part of this day. We know that there's much pain and suffering that are yet to happen, but that will be for a while, and then God's kingdom will come. So now let's look at the opportunity that we have to rejoice because of the hope of what this day also pictures, that trumpet that will signify the events that we'll read here in a moment. So these plagues that we read about are intended to soften the hearts, to soften the minds of the people, so that they get ready for their calling, just like we've been invited now. That God says, well, now I can get your attention. You can begin to learn. You can practice walking in my ways and see that this way works. So let's go to Revelation 11, verse 15. Just a page or so forward here. Revelation 11, verse 15, as we now look at the seventh trumpet, and we'll see that major changes are on the horizon here. Chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. So here's this trumpet blast. By now the whole world fully recognized that things happen when this trumpet blows. And so far it's been horrendous what they've seen. But here it says, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So this is what we've been waiting for. This is what the whole world needs, to know that there's hope on the horizon, that a new government, a new ruler, new laws are coming, and God is inviting us to prepare for that. He will give direction. He will give guidance. He will help. He will pour out His Spirit. And so much will change. You think about how beautiful it will be, as pictured when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles and we read a lot of those prophecies. Those don't begin until the seventh trumpet sounds, when Christ comes and begins to get everything ready to make those changes. And so those changes won't be sudden. God will not force them, just as He hasn't forced us. Sometimes God calls us and it takes us 5 years just to show up here, and another many years just to get into it. God is very patient. God is very merciful, but we don't want to put off that, but He won't force us. And so during the Feast of Tabernacles, He even says, if you won't come up, there won't be any rain on your territory. So there, God will continue to work with everybody. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Most of you are very familiar with this. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, as Paul mentions a little more here about the seventh trump. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. He says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So we just read that Christ returns. All this begins at the seventh trump. And so we see the time frame there. And then it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those individuals in the past, you know, whether it's Moses or one of the 12 disciples, you just look at all the people that are in their graves that have been called, and that God is awaiting to raise up at the return of Christ. And so the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Brethren, you think about what God is preparing us for. I'll just refer to Matthew 16. There it says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Showing this isn't about just believing God. It's about our works as well, about what we're doing. And when we have living faith, we are following the laws of God, preparing for that time. And yet, at that time, we won't have any more time to get ready after Christ's return. See, now is our time. Judgment is upon the house of God. And so our reward at the seventh trump is to be raised up, to be spirit, to be immortal, to think about the changes that are coming. And so the seventh trumpet offers hope. And yet we need to continue to develop and to prepare for all that is on the horizon. We know our future will be great. And I know we can't fully picture, but for what we do read, what we do believe, there's so much there to look forward to. Turn with me next to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Notice what Peter writes here, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days." So I think most of us would agree we're living in the last days. We're living in the end time. And so here's what's going to happen. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Like, really? Is that really going to happen? You've been talking about that for our whole lifetime. Nothing's happened yet. And so they say that, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And so we even can forget that the seventh trump is on the horizon and that we need to be looking forward to that. We can be lulled to sleep. That's why we're given parables like the 10 virgins. They all slept. Only half of them woke up. And so hopefully all of us wake up. Hopefully all of us will be in God's kingdom. We can't fool ourselves thinking, "Oh, there's plenty of time. I'll work on that issue next year." No, we don't know how soon before the return of Christ. We know at least be 3.5 years away because of all those events, but we don't know how soon the Great Tribulation will start. So we really have to be considering now what we need to do to get ready for that. Verse 8 here in 2 Peter 3. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." So we have these promises from God. And if we truly hear them, if we believe them, he says he's not slack, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For now, that's us, because God hasn't called and invited everybody yet. His plan is to do that, and he has a time frame for it. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So that's written for us. You know, will it come as a thief for us? Will we be like, "Whoop, I didn't see that coming. I wasn't quite ready. I wasn't serving as I should. I'm not loving people. I'm not forgiving enough." "But it will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Excellent questions to think about, isn't it? You know, without the help of God's Spirit, which was the last holy day that we observed, where God pictures that he would pour that out now on his church, eventually on all flesh when the millennium comes, we wouldn't be able to get ready to the level that he wants us to. And so we have that helper to prepare us, to strengthen us, to guide us. And so our daily choices determine the path that we walk, whether we become spirit or whether we're thrown into the lake of fire. It's our choice. Each one of us have that opportunity to determine which way we want to go. So we have to ask with that, do we hear the voice of God? Do we hear that trumpet, as it were, of God's voice, just like he spoke back to the children of Israel? It's really loud and clear, and he's telling us all these things, and we have to wake up to it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Brethren, God is asking the first fruits to hold on to that hope. Because we can drift, as he knows. He warns us of that. But there's so much to look forward to, that return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to dwell with him, to be wed to him. Amazing. To be resurrected to a different life. Notice what we're encouraged to do here, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So this is why we're given life, to become a part of the family of God, to be his children, to dwell with him. And some days we don't do our best. We lose our vision a little bit. We let down. But God is saying, get back up, keep going, continue, endure. And so we're thankful for his mercy, that he's willing to forgive us and continue to help us to become a new creation. And so, brethren, notice here verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So, in order to be his children, he's saying you've got to separate yourself from this world, because Satan is the god of this world. And he's asking us to be careful and to think about that, because all of us have little tendencies that are worldly, that we need to let go of, that we need to grow a little more and recognize, no, I don't need that, or I don't want that to be a part of my life. So we need to consider those areas we're entrenched in and to recognize that God is inviting us. He said, come, grow, come and develop. Let me mold you and shape you to a deeper level. And even reminds us to watch, to pray, that we might be counted worthy to escape some of these things that we've read about. There's a lot to consider. And so today should stir up hope. That hope of all the promises God has given us. We know there's some trumpets that are dire warnings to the people. But at the seventh trumpet, we will know absolutely. There will be no doubt when Christ returns. Everyone will see. Everyone will know and begin to understand as God opens their eyes. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. Actually, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 11. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So we see that process as we observe the Passover, what he did. Verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make their captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Brethren, there's our purpose right there. That's why we can look forward to the return of Christ and to our resurrection, because it's a resurrection to join the family of God, to be able to have bodies that don't ache and get tired and all the things we experience, but instead to honor and worship God perfectly for the rest of eternity. And so we need to think about that, to consider why we exist, why we've been made in the image of God. It's for this purpose. God wants more children. Turn to Hebrews 5 and verse 9. It says here, and having been perfected, Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So our walk as a Christian is a lot about obedience, simply honoring God, showing respect by living by his laws, even if they don't make sense to us. Even we might say, oh, I've got a better way. I think I've got a shortcut that'll work better. No, God says this opportunity for salvation is to those who obey. So we have to stop and think about that. Are we obeying to the level that God would want us to? Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. You know, in the message that Christ offered to the seven churches through John, each one ends with a warning, like, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. And we know that we can have Laodicean habits in our life. We've all seen it in others. It's hard to see it in ourselves, but we as the church of the living God, we are weak, we are insignificant, and we still have things that we need to overcome, and we're being warned to work on those, to put them out of our life. Why? Titus 1 and verse 2. Because in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. See, it's worth the effort to put away anything Laodicean, anything lukewarm, anything that opposes God, because he's given us the hope of eternal life. We have that opportunity. That's a big part of what this day pictures. So do we believe God's promises? Do we think daily about becoming a part of the family of God? That's our future. That's what we should meditate on often. And to remember the blessings that God has given us and that he will continue to help us. He tells us he will not forsake us. In conclusion, let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Brethren, this feast day pictures so much. It is a day of warning, as we've read, but it's also a day of great hope, the opportunity to look forward to things that are hard to imagine, wonderful things. Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and love of our God and our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do we really want that? This is what God is offering. And so today is a memorial, a yearly reminder of not only what's coming, but that we need to get ready. Oh, I'm assuming that most of us have been trying to do that, but I'm saying we need to continue it, and if possible, to do better, because God's voice is sounding a clear warning. He's saying, don't ignore that trumpet blast. Don't ignore what I'm saying to you. Get ready for all these events that could be very close on the horizon. And if not, when we wake up out of the grave, they'll be right there, and so they'll still be very near. If only we will listen, because the kingdom is coming. And God is inviting us as children to be a part of that. And so if we believe what these holy days picture, we should ask ourselves, what changes should I make in my life? Not like, oh, what can you change? No, I need to focus on me. You need to focus on you. And all together to grow, led by God's Spirit, so that we are a body that is pleasing to God. So there is that oneness. There is that moving forward, showing that we're preparing for the kingdom. And we do this so that we can be in the first resurrection, a better resurrection. In other words, changed into spirit, because the second resurrection is changed into physical life, and then hopefully later into spirit, but we have the opportunity to be changed at the return of Christ. The Feast of Trumpets was designed by God as a memorial to warn us, and therefore to prepare for all that is coming, to be awake, to be on fire, to have zeal for God's way. Are we doing that? But it's also a reminder of the hope of eternal life. That time when Moses, that time when Noah and Abraham and all those individuals that God knows, their hearts and minds, he called them, he worked with them, and they were faithful. When they will be raised up, and when the saints, those of us here, as we continue to grow and develop, when God says, you'll be raised, whether dead or alive, to be in my family. Can you imagine that time when we're changed to spirit? It'll be so amazing, so awesome. When our bodies are incorruptible, immortal, children of the Most High God, being able to all bow before God, worship God, but to do it perfectly from then on. We are very imperfect now, but we still strive. And to be called children or sons and daughters of God, that is what God is preparing us for. So let's never forget the blessings that God has given us and the special meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. Happy Feast of Trumpets.